Hello, today we are doing another episode of Ray's Musical Reviews, accompanied by...
I don't remember my nickname on this podcast.
You don't have
Jared.
One.
Green
Dookie
Day.
Jared.
Dookie Jared.
Oh. That's an album reference.
Yeah.
It's also a reference to the fact that he sucks.
Oh.
Shooting hard.
Man. Shooting hard.
And,
KP.
KP, I am your...
You don't get a nickname?
No.
I guess KP's not your legal name, so it is a nickname.
No one really has a nickname on this show.
That's fair.
I am Ray.
Perkalicious.
No.
Never do that again.
Perkalicious.
No nicknames.
Never do that again.
What did we listen to this week, Ray?
This week we are doing The Idols, Ultramano. Their third studio album, is that correct?
I believe it's third studio album.
Yeah, because they started out with Brutalism, then Joy, and now they're doing Ultramano.
Yeah, the other things were, they had some EPs, but yeah, studio album.
I mentioned, we did a podcast or a live thing from the record studio yesterday, mm-hmm. Revolver Records on 12th Avenue. Elvis, Eric, kicking it with us. Anyway,
is that his name?
I mentioned on, no, his nickname is Elvis.
Oh,
his real name is Eric.
I got you.
I mentioned on that episode that this record was the number one selling
record
in the UK.
Independent.
In indie stores. Indie record stores.
Yes, absolutely.
Very specific number one, a number one all the same.
It does represent a specific...
demo.
Yes, absolutely.
That they hit on the head.
Because of quarantine, I feel like this album would not have worked as well if... say it were released in 2019, rather than it were released now, especially with a lot of the fan-made music videos. I will say how this is probably maybe my least favorite Idols album. I still think it's good, but I do have some issues with this one.
I got you.
I think I'm
back and forth on this album quite a bit. So I'm there with you.
I think that. What the Idols are a mix of ska punk and maybe noise rock at points.
It's a weird like post-punk mixture of things.
Yeah, and but they do it incredibly well, especially on Joy as an Act of Resistance.
Oh, dude, Joy as an Act of Resistance is one of my favorite albums. Like, period, it's phenomenal. So I did also go into this album with really high expectations.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the reason why I like this album. Don't get me wrong,
yes.
But I have issues with it that we will get into.
Yeah.
Should we just get into it?
I think one of the things to know with this album, and I remember you saying this when it came out, Kev,
mm-hmm.
Was the fact that it sounds like old school. Like you were saying, it sounded a lot like The Clash.
It reminds me a lot like... it is not... The Clash, but it does. It's in the same stadium as The Clash.
Yeah.
It is. It reminds me of Fugazi. It reminds me of a. It has the same angst feeling. Now the content's a little different because there is a modern look to what they're talking about here that you don't like a lot. How do I put it? Not The Clash specifically or Fugazi, but a lot of the bands that sounded similar to this, their content wasn't this... It was angry, but it wasn't this directly pointed at certain things. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And almost in a positive manner. An angry positive manner.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But I do very much... this. To me, there isn't anybody doing quite what they do.
Yeah.
Out there right now.
Absolutely. No, I don't think anyone really scratches that itch in the same way.
Mm-mm.
And I will say, just completely in terms of like the music part of this, I think it's great across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's really anything that I don't like across this album. It is, I think, the lyricism that kind of goes up and down.
Okay. Should we get into the lyricism of the album? I'll start off. I think this is a significant downgrade from Joy's and Act of Resistance. It kind of added more on the stuff that I didn't like as much on Joy, which was its apparent goofiness. and it's so goofy to the point where it doesn't feel smart or quippy anymore. And it's stuff like the Conor McGregor with Samurai Swords on Rollerblades. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? There's no symbolism here.
Well, I think that was the point of that line. They did address some criticism from their last album about their, quote, sloganeering and just kind of making catchy hooks without having substance, which I don't think is an incredibly fair... It's a criticism against them at their worst. And they address it in this album, but I don't think they do it particularly well.
They address it, but they don't improve it.
yeah, like, they mention it, and it's like, yeah, kind of, but at the same time, you're still in your lyrics.
If you're
just kind of slow, like, they're just kind of doing it, I guess.
If you mention that what you're doing isn't that, what you're doing, like, if you're doing, no, this isn't necessarily with this album, because I don't think it's bad, but if you notice that what you're doing is bad and say, oh, we're not doing that, but you're still doing it. Saying that you're not doing it doesn't work.
It's like you kind of are. But I guess one of my issues with this is that sometimes it really does feel like it's just preaching slogans to the choir. Ne touche pas moi is an example of that for me, where he's just screaming the word consent. And it's like, I understand that when I'm listening to it. I don't know who's going to listen to this and have their mind changed. It's just, I think the worst parts of this album lyrically are just when they're stating things that are just already ridiculously obvious.
No.
It's like this, like, just yelling about catcalling and dudes being creepy. That is a problem, but like this, it does not address it in a particularly interesting way. It's just being like, oh, this is a bad thing. And I'm like, yeah.
It did it.
Yeah.
It does it. And that's kind of my main criticism of this album, is that it's not as good as Joy as an Act of Resistance.
It's not, like, it's always the most fair, but at the same time.
Like, there is one part that I really, really liked, and that was for the last two songs, which are a hymn into the last song, which I forget.
Dank. It's the German word for thank you, I believe.
Yeah, and then it the hymn is just building up, and then Dunk just explodes. I think that part is really great.
I will say that I think this album really picks up a lot of steam in the last, like, handful of songs. You know what I mean? Because I guess most of the problems I have are more with the first half. But the second half, everything from Rains to the last song, Dank, is just, I think it's great. I don't really have a problem with any of those songs.
But I don't... What I'm going to say with It's Not As Good As Joy, I don't think there is a song as anthemic as I'm Scum. Or just... This isn't a very catchy album. You know? I mean, in some places it is, but it's also kind of fusing abrasiveness with catchiness, which I feel like is a two-way street. Dad, what
were you? I feel the opposite about everything you guys have said.
Oh, that's totally fair.
So.
That's totally fair.
That's good enough.
Like the exact. Okay.
Just every single thing you said, I feel the opposite about. Except you take out what you said about the other albums. Like when you're talking about where he's screaming consent and that being just blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
To a hardcore crowd that gropes women all the time and treats them incredibly poorly all the time. That's and for him fair. To get them going and try to have a crowd screaming the exact opposite of what that crowd has done for the last 40 years. Telling me that that's nothing.
Hey, you're out. No, you're right.
And he's willing to go do that. And you're just telling me that's nothing. It's blatantly obvious that they shouldn't do that. That place has people doing that every day in there. And he's willing to go out there and say, this is flat out wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
And part of my fan base is like this. And if you want to leave, take your steps that way. To me, that matters.
I think you're right.
And that's like I'm saying, that's just, that's me though.
That comes from a, people have kind of, I can't think of a word other than woobified the punk scene.
Dude.
Where people say, what people say.
Not even just the punk scene. I've been like, okay, classic rock.
Yeah.
Every single love song ain't really a love song, right? I mean, you know, Kiss. I love Kiss to death. I've stood right there and watched as Paul Stanley Ask two girls on the front row. He says, she's saying she'll do it. She's thinking you'll do it if she'll do it. And so they wind up lifting their shirt up to show a TV screen in the crowd. What happens if those two girls don't want to show everybody their breasts? You've got 10,000 people booing them.
Oof, that's not a...
This is the polar opposite of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
And we're acting like that isn't something that matters.
No, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that, so to me, that's part of it. You talk about Model Village.
Oh, dude. Okay, Model Village is awesome.
Dude,
I'm with you right
there.
He
addresses everything in Model Village.
I love the line where he says, there's a lot of I'm not racist butts in the village.
Are you kidding me? I love it.
Dude, he was. I think he was spot on for that whole song.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. And I like the Lover song is, it's a little, it's the most strange version of a love song. I think it's so strange. But it is a
yeah,
a form of a love song from a guy like this, right? Hymns, you could take Hymns out and put it in like on the Crow soundtrack or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's so to me, it's just so unique what they do. And I get that, you know, if you don't like the, you know, how about them cliches part, right? How he's, but he continues to mention these fighters, and then he goes and he starts chanting, "You're Joe Calzaghe." You know who Joe Calzaghe is? Undefeated fighter.
Yeah, I had to look.
Put
it
a
up,
whooping on Roy Jones, dude. Roy Jones was great fighters all the time. So it's kind of I find that interesting. We've had, you don't like the pop culture references. Well, pop culture references are used in all genres, but in this particular genre, it's wrong. So you know what I'm saying?
Well, again, that's another one of the things that like the weird punkness of it is like people think they sell out because they do stuff like that. It's like that again. Whenever somebody says a band sells out, it is almost always.
Well, they did sell out a little bit, right? They bring in a guy who does hip hop for production.
Yeah.
To make a sound, and I just feel like the music. It's like the music itself just drives through the whole thing.
That's why I picked out Reigns. The music on Reigns, I think, is the driving force of the song.
Dude.
I don't want to call it a foghorn, but just the so perfect.
And to your point, Reigns, right? You think that it's about Blue Bloods and how this, but by the same token, you think that Reigns is some form of a, but he's using Reigns as in you're pulling the Reigns back. You're pulling the blue blood back, or you're choking me with the rain. Either way, you want to do that. But you know what I mean? Like, he utilizes. He's a clever man.
Yeah.
He's a clever man. Okay, go ahead.
Again, my problems are that it didn't do it as good as Joy did, because I feel like a lot... it's way more blunt than Joy.
Hence the
cover.
The cover of just getting hit in the face with a giant pink ball. Because,
right.
Yeah, I mean, he's not covering it in a whole lot of... He's swinging with a brick, which, you know, again, with the way the music sounds, I do think is not necessarily bad.
Dude, he says the term, for white people, he uses pink.
Yeah.
A lot. And he, like in Grounds, he's talking about how you got to call out evil when you see it. And he associates race with class, which is something that, which is, you know what I mean? And it's not just... I think that's the track where he mentions putting his pink fist in the air and saying Black Lives Matter, right? That kind of thing. But it is a kind of thing where he's kind of implying, hey, you realize we got more in common socioeconomically than we're letting ourselves be led to believe, and we're our own problem.
I love seeing the class consciousness springing into this album. I will say that's great for me.
Right. And again, like you said, he may do it better than other records, but I really love the way he does it here.
I will say, I do feel like he addresses the clash thing, a class thing more in this album. I almost said clash because we were talking about clash.
Right, of course.
I do think Grounds probably should have started out the album. If I have like one structural criticism, is I feel like Grounds would have been a way better
opener.
Yeah, because I like War. I like the anger in it. I just like the pure unbridled anger in it.
Absolutely.
But I really like Grounds, and I feel like starting the album off on Grounds would just hit the ground running. You
right.
Know what I mean,
hit
the grounds running. Am I right?
There you go. That's funny. That's funny. What's next?
I don't necessarily know where we go next.
I did want to point out, I do kind of just want to talk about a couple songs I really liked. The song Carcinogenic.
Dude.
Just describing a lot of the working class realities being just poisonous to the psyche.
Dude.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It goes hand in hand with like how I've experienced life and the way I see other people experience life, where it's just sometimes it's just poisonous.
Right.
And you're just trapped in a situation where you just have to be poisoned.
Right. Yeah. I really like this record. I just like it was my number two record of the year.
I love it. You know, I still love the record.
Right.
I maybe will not bump it as much as you Joy, know what it, but
do you ever get a look at Uma Thurman? You know who that is?
I know. I've watched all of the Kill Bills.
Right. Okay. You look at supermodels sometimes, mm-hmm. and I may be doing a Reed Richards stretcher, but
no, I think I know exactly.
Look at supermodels sometimes, right? And it's not a classical beauty. Right.
I know exactly what point you're trying to make, and I think I've thought about this so much. I don't fall for supermodels. They are incredibly attractive. They are an amalgamation of attractive traits, but there's always it's the uniqueness
right.
of a person's face that makes them truly beautiful.
And it's the flaws that make them beautiful.
Yes, Uma Thurman is just a beautiful woman.
And to me, the flaws in this band.
That's fair.
Are kind of what make them, and that has always been true with punk when done well, with hardcore when done well. If it was cleaner than this, it wouldn't work. You know what I mean?
I will agree with that.
That kind of thing.
I will agree with that.
It has to be sloppy. It needs to feel like it's a punch.
He's running down a hallway, stumbling.
Right. It needs to be clever, not intellectual. You know what I mean? Even though he can be, I'm sure. I'm sure he is a tough conversation to have. Okay, I do want to say one thing about this record before we decide to leave it, if that's the way we're going. For the old heads out there, the old people out there, this record, if you don't know it, would fit in with the Pump Up the Volume soundtrack or any of those Crow soundtracks. So just a reference point for you wonderful people.
You're right.
Go ahead, brother.
I think that was a really good discussion.
Yeah. It wasn't a discussion. Dad blame it.
It was KP laying down the law.
Dad blame it.
It was KP getting really angry.
There's too much punk listening this week for us not to be angry.
Dude, I've been riding around listening to the guy talk about war for 7 days.
Let's go. I'm ready to start swinging.
You know what I'm not going to do? Grope anybody.
I wasn't planning on doing it, but now I'm definitely not going to do
it. Not doing it now.
Not very high standards. I mean correct. Like, around the 80s, like, that's kind of high, but, like, now, like, it's not.
But correct.
Dude,
just because something is common sense doesn't mean it's common sense.
Dad showed me. All right, when we were... Bon Jovi did the inauguration, mm-hmm. I asked him, "Hey, do you think Bon Jovi's cheesy?" And he went, "Don't ask me that. I've never liked him." Mm-hmm. And he showed me a music video of their most cheesy moment. I don't remember which one it was.
Was that the one with
"Lay your hands on me, lay your hands on me, lay your hands on me"?
And as Bon Jovi was singing that,
loving it.
And as Bon Jovi was saying that, you said something like you made an offhand comment like, "I don't know if that's consensual or not." And I replied, "High standards by that time."
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. The point was, at least this time around for them, he wanted you lay your hands on him. Yeah. He wasn't like, "I'm laying my hands on you," yeah. or the immortal, "Don't want to wait till you know me better."
I will just say this.
And I love Kiss, by the way. I'm just saying.
I will just say this in defense of Bon Jovi. When you find out the bad hair metal, you will be in complete awe at how purely mediocre Bon Jovi is.
Well, I will say this too about Bon Jovi.
Together he is.
First of all, I probably have never purchased a Bon Jovi record, and I think I probably know 17 songs by heart that they've done because of the age I was.
I don't think I've ever listened to a Bon Jovi song under my own consent.
I believe that's also true. I guarantee I've heard quite a lot of them, but I've never sought out Bon Jovi.
And I will say that John did a great job of marketing himself and his band. I remember a quote I'll always remember. They said one time, something blah 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 about all the work, whatever. He says, "Look, man," he said, "people talk about don't you wish you could just go back and play bars? Why would I want to play a bar? I want to play the desert and I want to sell it out." Because that's what, you know what I mean? And to his credit, too, they also played a free show after one of the hurricanes.
Well, you also say you don't like somebody and own like four of their books. So like,
right? I can be a complicated person. That's well, a given.
We're taking a break from the angry punk,
and we are moving to the smooth dance style.
Rob Zombie,
Daft Punk,
Living Dead Girl, baby.
So Daft Punk is next.
Daft Punk. We're continuing our Versus series since our 1 year anniversary of doing this is like 5 months away, which is crazy to me. Like 5-6 months
of doing the musical podcast.
We've already reached
that year. No, what I was saying, it's just odd. It's like, yeah, it's like,
seems like we've been doing this forever.
It's 6 months till our 1 year anniversary. It's like we're only halfway there.
Time is relative.
Yeah, we're like five. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Like 5 months. Like five, I'd say by now.
So Daft Punk is up next.
That's me being like, dude, we're like 4.5 years away from our 10 year anniversary. It just seems like a stretch of time that's a little long.
We're trying to come up with an excuse. We just want to do this.
I love Daft Punk, man.
We are doing Daft Punk. There are two classics: Random Access Memories versus Discovery.
2007's Discovery and 2013's Random Access Memories, I think.
Discovery was 2007? I thought Discovery was 2001.
It may be.
That's a significant distance apart, or as Ray would say, almost released at the same time.
Discovery's 2001.
Random Access Memories 2013, right?
Alive 2007 is 2007. Okay. I guess that's what I was thinking of.
We ready to talk about something important yet?
Yeah.
An album was dropped this week.
By who?
Weezer.
Okay. Human.
It's like okay computer,
but it's not.
Dude, and that album title gets me kind of riled up a little, because it's like, dude, like Weezer.
I feel exactly the opposite.
That's a trend.
It feels like Weezer are, like, especially like you say, oh, Weezer are making a joke. Like Dad says, oh, Weezer are making a joke. That's so cool. Then you look at their 2000s catalogs and realize they've been treating themselves as a joke since the 2000s.
That's what I meant.
And it's like, dude.
Why wouldn't it be a joke?
It feels so weird. Why wouldn't it be?
Weezer is a joke.
Weezer has turned into a joke. Don't get me started on this, dude. Weezer has turned into a joke. The mention of Weezer's discography should send shivers down the spine of any music listener.
I think we've listened to it twice.
Yes, it's good. It's good.
I really enjoy it.
It's good. I enjoy it.
It's grand. They have an orchestra.
It's probably the most personal album they've put out.
Did you say the orchestra was? You looked it up?
The Abbey Road Group.
The Abbey Road. You ever heard of Abbey Road?
Some blokes.
Used to drive down it.
They walked across it or something.
Ringo. Ringo's band.
Ringo's band. We're going to start forgetting.
Slap them skins back there, Ringo. I don't think I've ever heard him called Ringo's band before.
I'm not going to refer to them any other way. Yeah, you know that band with Ringo Starr? That's how I'm going to start calling them. You know the band named after a bug?
Yeah. Do you want to talk more about it?
Yeah, it's probably their most personal album since either White Album or Pinkerton.
Mm-hmm.
I think the lyricism is good. Numbers is a fantastic song. All My Favorite Songs is also a really good song. There's no real bad song on there, but I did listen to this and think, man, this is good. I feel like my expectations are really low, hence the fact that it's named OK Human.
Well, you never know. Like, it's like the same problem you have when you watch a movie and you do an instant reaction on it instead of sitting back thinking. I know you're critical of doing that. You don't like doing that, Jared. And I understand what you're saying, because when you don't have time to step back and think about it, like with records, I'll feel totally different. Like, I can listen to a record 4 or 5 times and listen to it 2 years later. It's a completely different album to me. Like, what it does for me personally. Like, I may listen to Ultra Mono later on and be like, this sucks. You know what I mean? But right now, it doesn't. You know what I mean? I absolutely won't, by the way, say this sucks. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes, you will.
You get the point. You get the point. The Eternal Struggles.
It is a good album. And though when it released, I was more like, it's not garbage.
You were just overjoyed.
Lifted your hand in victory.
I was overjoyed at the fact that it wasn't complete dumpster juice. Like, dude. Weezer are so weird.
Rob Zombie.
They're one of my favorite bands, but God, they have a strange story.
Rob Zombie released 2 songs this week. The Eternal Struggles of the Howling Man and The Triumph of King Freak. A Crypt of Preservation and Superstition. Rob getting a whole sentence in there on those titles.
Absolutely.
We listened to him. What'd you think about him in the car the other day?
It was, in fact, music made by Rob Zombie.
Devil Man. No?
It's a fairly...
Yeah. Wow.
It's a fairly by-the-books Rob Zombie album.
Oh, yeah. I think it's an album. It's singles. Listen to a little Godspell this week. Anybody else listen to a little Godspell this week? Day by Day, Oh Dear Lord, These Things I Pray. Nope, just me.
No, just you.
I had to offset. I was angry after I'd listened to the one record, so I throw a little that in there.
I actually listened to Joy as an Act of Resistance and compared this album to that one, and yeah, that's probably why I didn't like it as much.
I listened to a little Fugazi this week.
I actually
purchased it once again. Revolver Records, 12th Avenue, our guys.
Elvis.
Eric.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ray.
I tried. I didn't try out because I listened to it a while back, but I redid Father John Misty's Pure Comedy. It's good, even though it can get a little pretentious at points.
Yeah.
And most people's interaction with it is that it's boring the first time they listen it and mind-blowing the second time they listen to it, which I always kind of liked it. I think it works more as an artistic statement than an actual album at points. It's still my favorite Father John Misty album, though.
Listen to a little Joy Division this week.
Did you or did I?
We did.
We? No, we didn't.
We didn't?
No, we did not.
Then we talked about... You said something to me about it then, and I put it in the car when I was driving around.
No, we didn't, no.
When I was driving around by myself.
Oh.
I listened to it. I thought you were with me. Sometimes I just think you're with me. I talk to you. You're not there. It's weird. Jared, what'd you listen to this week?
Not much other than Ultramano, honestly.
Okay. Just so you're angry as hell, too.
Oh, dude. Again, I'm just opening this pit up, dude. I'm going in swinging. I'm windmilling.
I listened to a lot of Ultramano, too.
Cool. Was that it? Is that a wrap?
I did actually let the album keep playing, and it went into just like... some other stuff by them and by a couple other artists, which I do enjoy.
Of those other artists were good.
Yeah, quite good.
Yeah. As you can tell, I didn't really get angry. I didn't really feel anger, just more like thinly veiled contempt.
That's fair.
I think that's fair. The same thing.
For me, like listening to the album, I got angrier as it went along. So by the time Reigns comes around, I'm literally just sitting there thrashing. I'm so into it at that point.
Right. What did you say you were again?
I had thinly veiled contempt.
Thinly veiled contempt. I think that's like a really intelligent version of anger.
Yeah.
No, it's just like...
the thinking man's anger.
It's just like a version of anger that kind of... No, it's more of just a version of disappointment.
Yes. Really. Yes. All right, so is that a wrap?
Yeah, I guess. Next time we're doing Discovery versus Random Access Memories. This has been Ray's Music Reviews. Go home.
Copyright 2021.